The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivy from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from two issues this week. We're going to complete August 2018 and begin September 2018 of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. And let's say we're going to complete the August 2018 issue and a picture here of the Queen of Tennis, Fierce Phenoms. The latest book from SI Kids profiles extraordinary women who inspired others and shaped the narratives of their sports. Which single player has the most Grand Slam titles in the Open era? Have you figured it out yet? Well, it's Serena Williams. When she was only 17 years old, has now won more major tournaments, 23, than any tennis player since professionals were first allowed to participate in them in 1968. To go along with her 6 victories at the United States Open, she has 7 at the Australian Open, 3 at the French Open, and 7 at Wimbledon. In 2003 and 2015, she completed what became known as the Serena Slam, winning 4 major tournaments in a row, a little different than a true Grand Slam, which entails 4 wins in a calendar year. "I do want to be known as the greatest ever," she said in 2015. It's hard to argue that she's not already. Since first topping the world rankings in 2002, she had been number one for 319 weeks, including 186 in a row. After she won the 2017 Australian Open, 7 matches in straight sets, while pregnant with her daughter Alexis, Williams ascended to the top spot again. At 35, she was the oldest number one in history. Some other fast facts. Babe Didrikson Zaharias, track and field Olympic gold medalist, LPGA Tour champion. Fast fact. At the 1932 National AAU track meet, Babe, by herself, won the team championship after taking first in 5 events, tying for first in 1 and finishing 4th in another. The second place team had 22 members. Maya Moore, 4-time WNBA champion with the Minnesota Lynx, 2-time champ at UConn. "I love all my championships. I love to compete. And when you have the talent, the discipline, the work ethic, and teammates who do the same thing, winning follows you around." Simone Biles, gymnast and 5-time Olympic medalist. Wow factor. 10 world championship medals Biles has won. A record. Next, we have, from the pages of Sports Illustrated, On Top of the World. The Warriors saw a new, edgier Kevin Durant this year. But the finals most valuable player was wearing a familiar smile after a second straight title that came thanks to a second straight Game 3 dagger in Cleveland. The home of an NBA champion 48 hours after the finals looks sort of like a honeymoon suite the morning after a wedding. Balloons at the door, nachos in the kitchen, friends on the couch rehashing the previous night's activities. Kevin Durant's commemorative hat was already in the closet next to his Longhorns and Redskins lids, and his MVP trophy perched on the windowsill along with his predecessor. "Reminds me of when I was a kid," Durant said. "My brother and I would line up all our fifth place trophies from the rec league on the dresser and see who could stack the most." He sat atop the kitchen counter, corn on the cob sizzling in the frying pan, late afternoon sun pouring through floor-to-ceiling windows. Across the bay, he could see almost to Oracle Arena. Durant lived in Oakland last season, but he found the location desolate as he moved to an apartment on the 54th floor of a high-rise in San Francisco. Durant admits things other megastars do not. "I feel as if a lot of basketball players, celebrities, put on this front that they're bigger and stronger and different, that they're superheroes, so they're not seen as somebody with weaknesses or insecurities. I'm not a celebrity hooper. I don't care about money and fame. I don't need everything to revolve around me. I like to play basketball. I like to talk basketball. I like to debate basketball. He is a repeat champion and finals MVP. But all that will be remembered of Durant's second season in Golden State is Game 3 at Quicken Loans Arena. 43 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, and 133-foot kill shot from his customary station to the left of the top of the circle. He is loath to glorify his scoring. That's all I did my whole life, but there is no denying the uncanny affection he has developed for Game 3s since joining the Warriors, who typically lead 2-0 when they take to the road. You have a chance to demolish them, to take their heart. He says, I love Game 3. A year ago, he had 38-13 in Game 3 at Utah, 33-10 at San Antonio, 31-9 at Cleveland. After each of these epics, the Warriors lost only once. So the prognosis for these Cavaliers was predictable. The dagger foreshadows the broom. I felt like I was at Berry Farms again, Durant told his business partner and agent Rich Kleiman following his latest Game 3 spree. Berry Farms, the famed outdoor courts in Washington, D.C., represent the hoops haven Durant is forever trying to recreate. It's how we all start, isn't it? He asked. Pickup is the heartbeat of basketball, the spirit of basketball, and as you get further and further away from that, to AAU, to high school, to college, to the NBA, you're stacking layers and layers of nonsense onto something simple. If you can take it all the way back to street ball, then nothing will really bother you. Just top your shoes and play. Listening to Durant is not so different than watching him post up George Hill. Once he gets going, he does not stop. I have so much in my head, it's hard for me to say it all. I know what I'm thinking, but it comes out a little weird and different. Not really. You just have to know him. Last season, he yearned to fit in with the Dubs. This season, he revealed more of himself, and coaches privately wondered if he was unhappy. They saw my edge for the first time, Durant says. He can be simultaneously fiery and gentle. Toward the end of the regular season, teammates noticed he turned quiet, his passion muted. I wasn't good every day, he says. I wasn't on every day. I felt like we were dragging, and I was down, too. I internalized it a little bit. I wanted some meaningful basketball. Durant's mood lightened as the playoffs dawned. He's one of the most authentic people I've ever met, says Warriors General Manager Bob Myers, because if he's having a hard time, he'll tell you. I'm having a hard time. And if he's feeling great, he'll tell you. I'm feeling great. Durant's first game of the finals was, by his own admission, a dud. I disrespected Cleveland, he volunteers. I didn't come in prepared. The next three, however, were a masterpiece. The Warriors will replay those 15-foot turnarounds all over Hill for posterity. Not only have the Warriors captured three of the past four titles, they have posted the best regular and postseason winning percentages over a four-year span in NBA history. They finished these playoffs with the top-ranked offense and defense. So, was it easy? By any normal standards, yes. It was another 8-month joyride. But the Dubs were spoiled, and for them it was a slog, overcoming their most formidable adversary, themselves. Sometimes you have to wait on a championship team. Chuck Daly said that about his 1980s Detroit Pistons Bad Boys team, wisdom that provided solace for the Golden State coach Steve Kerr as he checked his watch through an interminable winter. During three dream seasons, the Warriors started 21-2, 24-0, and 27-4, immune to the malaise that infects virtually every NBA power. They were the most talented team in the league, but also the most driven. And while Kerr snapped a few clipboards along the way, he rarely so much as raised his voice in a film session. His players earned the freedom he afforded them and kept earning it. First year, it's all new. We're all hungry, Warriors guard Sean Livingston said. Second year, we're chasing history, trying to get the best record ever. Third year, we just lost in the finals, and we've got KD. This year, what is it? Golden State's roster is loaded, but its system is taxing. Constant cuts and reads. When effort wanes, so does movement, and clean threes become contested twos. It's harder to keep the spirit to find the joy, Livingston said. And then you see it every night on the other side, with the Houston, but even the Brooklyns, because they want so badly to knock you off. The 2018 Warriors reminded Kerr of the 1998 Bulls, Scottie Pippen pedaling on a stationary bike in the hallway during Game 6 of the Finals, desperate to loosen his back. LeBron, sorry, Freudian slip. Michael had to do everything that night, Kerr recalls. We felt vulnerable, whereas the previous 2 years we didn't. It was the same way this season. We felt vulnerable against Houston. The Rockies' remade defense was longer, faster, and more versatile than past incarnations. They crowded Curry and Durant 30 feet from the basket, funneling down toward the rim and inviting them to finish over 6'10 fly swatter Clint Capella. Tested for the first time in 2 years, the Warriors resorted to uncharacteristic isolations, abandoning their egalitarian offense. Midway through Game 5, the Warriors moved a big man, Kevon Looney or Jordan Bell, to the three-point line, even though neither shoots well enough to draw a defender outside. Shifting Looney and Bell, says assistant coach Bruce Fraser, unlocked our movement and it unlocked a lot of the stuff that gets Steph going. Curry could bring the ball up, find Looney or Bell, and then relocate to the corner. This pass and dash action became a hallmark 3 years ago during the playoffs. The Dubs don't have a play call for it. Rather, it is a byproduct of their flow and a sign of their engagement. Before Game 6, Kerr told the Warriors that they would not lose again this season, though a hamstring injury to Chris Paul and a brain lock by J.R. Smith helped his prophecy come to fruition. Smith, the Cavs' shooting guard, forgot the score at the end of regulation of Game 1 of the Finals. In the next game, Curry drilled the Finals' record 9 threes. Oracle erupted as if it were 2015 again. Here was a flashback to the days before Durant, when Curry was everybody's underdog, and each step back was a spectacle. Both co-stars have suppressed skills, part of the super team compromise, but in the finals, they took turns letting loose. When Curry finally cooled off, he met his family in a corner of Oracle's BMW club, greeted by an MVP chant. The difference between the 2018 Warriors and the 1998 Bulls, which Kerr did not mention, is that Chicago was at the end of its reign, while Golden State likely remains in the middle. All good things come to an end, forward Draymond Green says, but I don't think the end is near. What we have here is so unique, and what it makes it work is selflessness. We don't look at it as KD, you the face, you the guy, or Steph, you the face, you the guy. There ain't no guy. Assuming Golden State doesn't self-sabotage, the responsibility of restoring suspense to the NBA falls on LeBron James, per usual. As he sat in his apartment 2 days after the finals, Durant pondered the imminent flurry of moves that the summer's free agency period would bring. I want to see that movement, he says. I think it will make the league better. Durant was ready to watch like everyone else, swaddled in sweats at his home in the sky, 54 stories, and two trophies above it all. End zone, what's the call? Struck by a strike. Lydia Frederica is batting in a softball game under NCAA rules. She leans over the plate, and a pitch grazes the outside of her jersey. You're the umpire, and you call a strike. Federico thinks that she should get to go to first base. Who's right? Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Well, you are correct. If a batter is hit by a pitch in the strike zone, the pitch is called a strike. Number two, suspicious screen. The Bristol Ballers are on offense in a basketball game against the Dresden Dribblers. With a teammate handling the ball at the point, Ballers forward Andre Baylor runs from the wing across the baseline and sets a pick on a Dribblers player cutting underneath the basket. You're the closest referee and notice Baylor's left foot is barely out of bounds when he makes contact with the opposing player. What's the call? Do, 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 do. Since Vince Baylor said an offense is screwing out of bounds, the ballers lose possession. The dribblers get the ball on the sideline at the free throw line. And next, finally, for what's the call? The end zone? Backing off. Matt Dempsey is wrestling in the 120-pound weight class against his rival, Elwood Burke, under NCAA rules. Every time Dempsey moved to engage his opponent, Burke backs away. Dempsey complained that he should get a point because Burke is stalling. You're the referee. What's the call? Do, 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 do. Answer, Burke receives a warning. Any subsequent violation for stalling will result in a point for Dempsey. Next we have mystery athlete. Clue, the mystery athlete has won 5 consecutive gold gloves at third base, starting in his rookie season, and has nabbed Silver Slugger Awards in each of the last 3. He was voted an All-Star starter for the first time in 2017. Clue number 2. He led the National League in doubles in 2017 and in home runs in 2015 and 16. Any idea yet? All right, how about clue 3? The Rockies selected the mystery athlete in the second round of the 2009 Major League Baseball draft. Who is he? Nolan Arenado, third baseman, Colorado Rockies. And finally, trivia challenge. In 2017-2018, Washington Capitals left-wing Alex Ovechkin, on the right, led NHL in regular season goals 49, postseason goals 15, and won the Stanley Cup. Who was the last player to do all 3 in the same season? Was it A, Mike Bossy, B, Brett Hull, C, Sidney Crosby in 2008 and 2009? Answer, it was Bossy. Mike Bossy scored 68 regular season goals, 17 postseason goals with the New York Islanders. And now we'll move to the September 2018 issue, and we'll start with the cover, Football Blowout, Double Issue. Here's a picture of Tom Brady and the G-O-A-T with the question mark. Greatest of all time? What we have to look forward to. The lineup. NFL preview. Page 32. Scouting reports. Who will be under center for the reigning champs? Can anyone topple the Pats in the AFC? From first down through fourth down, we've got you covered with the biggest storyline for each team. Page 56. Superheroes. All over the NFL this year, amazing powers will be on display. Be on the lookout for these stars. Page 58, California Dream. In their second season back on the West Coast, the Los Angeles Rams will try to take down the GOAT. Who's that? Greatest ever? Patriots? Page 64, Tom Brady. No matter how you look at it, the Patriots star is the best quarterback the game has ever seen. Page 68, Ultimate NFL Dream Team. Who would make the cut on the all-time pro squad? Find this lineup, plus the greatest NFL and college team to ever grace the gridiron in our latest book. So page 16, we have prime time. Washington Nationals rookie Juan Soto has emerged as one of the brightest stars in baseball. Page 20, Westworld. LeBron James is on his way to the Lakers, bringing even more talent to an already loaded conference. Page 22, Back to School. This gear will help you thrive no matter what's on your schedule. Page 72, from the pages of Sports Illustrated, Supreme Court, justices and clerks hoop it up on the highest court in the land. And your favorites? Number 2. Page 2, freeze frame. Number 7, sports cards. Number 12, September birthdays. Page 13, future stars. Page 15, LOL. Page 26, posters. Page 76, what's the call? Page 77, games. Page 78, art gallery. Page 79, comic cards. And page 80, Bub Beamer. Well, let's go to page 2, freeze frame. Picture here, Caesar's Palace with a motorcyclist flying over the... Ooh, is he flying over the roof? Top flight, July 8, 2018, Las Vegas, Nevada. After jumping your motorcycle over 52 crushed cars and 16 buses on the right, what's left? If you're Travis Pastrana, you fly 149 feet over the fountains outside of Caesar's Palace Hotel. Pastrana, a 17-time X Games medalist, wore a red, white, and blue suit as an homage to daredevil Evel Knievel, who in 1967 became the first person to attempt to jump the fountains. More freeze frame, page 4. Soccer looks like a little scuffle here. Heads up! June 28, 2018, Kaliningrad, Russia. Belgium's Thomas Vermeulen beat three England players and two teammates to win a contested header in the group stage of the World Cup. Belgium won the game 1-0, its first victory over England in 82 years. To prove it was no fluke, Belgium defeated England 2-0 16 days later in the third-place game. We need you to nominate the next Sports Kids of the Year. Know a superstar who excelled both on and off the field? To nominate yourself or someone you know, go with the parent to sikids.com/SKOTY. And who's who in sports? We'll do the first line today. Asia Wilson, center, Aces, WNBA. Her height is 6'4". Her weight is 195 pounds. She was born August 8, 1996 in Columbia, South Carolina. Through July 9th, Wilson, a rookie, was second in the WNBA in scoring, 21 points per game, and third in rebounds, 8.7. She also led Las Vegas in blocks per game, 1.7. The Aces selected Wilson with the first pick in the 2018 WNBA draft. As a senior at South Carolina, she was the consensus National Player of the Year. Wilson was a three-time first-team All-America with the Gamecocks and holds the program record for blocks, 258. Question: in which city did the Aces play before moving to Las Vegas for the 2018 season? Do 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 San Antonio, Texas. Their nickname was the Stars. Next, we have Taylor Hall, left wing, the Devils. His height is 6'1". His weight is 205 pounds. He was born November 14, 1991 in Calgary, Alberta. Hall led New Jersey with 93 points and 39 goals in 2017-2018 and helped the team make the playoffs for the very first time since 2012. He became the first Devils player to earn the Hart Trophy as NHL MVP. Edmonton selected Hall first in the 2010 draft. In 2013, he broke Wayne Gretzky's Oilers record for the quickest hat trick to start a game, 7 minutes 53 seconds, and quickest back-to-back goals, 8 seconds. He helped Windsor of the Ontario Hockey League win the Memorial Cup in 2009 and 2010 and was MVP of the tournament both times. Question: which team won the 2017-2018 Stanley Cup? Boop, 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 boop. You knew this, the Washington Capitals. And finally, Megan King, picture, Florida State University. Her height is 5'9". She was born January 25th, 1996 in Parkland, Florida. King struck out 10 batters, walked 2, and allowed 10 hits over 2 complete game wins against the Washington to help the Seminoles win their first Women's College World Series. In 34 and a third innings pitched at the tournament, King, a junior, went 4-0 with one save. She had an ERA of 0.20, setting a new record among hurlers who appeared in at least 10 innings. She was named to the all-tournament team. She led the Atlantic Coast Conference with a 1.17 ERA in 2018, going 26-6 with three saves. Question, which team won the 2018 Men's College World Series? Do, 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 boo, 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 boo. Right, Oregon State. Warm-up, burning question. Should players make personnel decisions? On January 12th, University of Arizona quarterback Khalil Tate installed Twitter on his phone just to send one tweet. I didn't come to Arizona to run the triple option. Tate was obviously weighing in on the possibility of Ken Numitolo leaving Navy to become the Wildcats coach. Neoma Numitola has made Navy famous for its read option runs. At the time, he seemed to be the leading candidate for the Arizona job. The post had its intended effect. Suddenly, Navy announced that Numitolo would not be leaving, and Arizona hired Kevin Sumlin, best known for orchestrating an air raid-style attack with Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. I knew exactly what I was doing when I tweeted that out, Tate later told Bleacher Report. Whatever his reason for torpedoing Numitolo's candidacy, Tate demonstrated a power traditionally not granted to players, collegiate or professional. Should any athlete have such a voice in team business? In theory, athletic directors and general managers have a specific expertise that better equips them to make personnel decisions. Players also don't always have the best interest of their teams in mind. Tate will be more likely to endear himself to NFL scouts in Sumlin's offense. Beyond their conflicts of interest, many superstars are poor talent evaluators. Just check their no-trade clauses. In 2015, Cole Hamels refused to add the Houston Astros to the list of teams to which the Phillies could send him. Instead, he went to the Texas Rangers, who have a losing record in the last two seasons. The Astros, of course, won the 2017 World Series. The most obvious modern example of a player picking his teammates is LeBron James, who many believe to have had a significant amount of sway over the Cleveland Cavaliers front office. And then therein lies the best reason for players making personnel decisions for their teams. They can. Sports is a business in which the players are constantly fighting their franchises or schools for more rights, more spoils. After getting rid of a popular player, team executives love to remind fans that it's just business. As the tables turn, don't be surprised if players fall back on that same refrain. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138.